nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, that's what I want to just talk about a bit. Grace. You see, there's a manner we should sing. When we sing, when we worship, there's a manner we should do it. The Bible says we should do it with grace. With what? I want to please echo it so that I know we are following. With what? It didn't stop there. He said with grace where? Yes, with grace in our hearts. So I take it again. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Say, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. So that's what I want to show us, that grace in our hearts. Very quickly, so we'll go to Revelation chapter 21. Some of us are scared of the book of Revelation. It's, forget about the beast and all the horns there. There are so many glorious things in that book. Just share something that touches on the grace of God a bit. I'll read from verse 21. Revelation 21 from verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And also there was no more sea. You see, this place we are reading here, after God has ended this world, and God is making a new world, that's what he's telling us. So, after this world is over, God will destroy this present heaven you are seeing, and this present earth. After God destroyed them, God now made a new heaven and a new earth. Now, let's follow the story. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Then I will now jump to verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. I won't go into the detail. This bride, the Lamb's wife, talks about what God is building. No, Jesus said, I go to prepare a mansion for you. That if I finish building that mansion, I'll come back and take you. Amen. So that's that mansion. That mansion. So he now took him, said, let me show you that mansion that Jesus has been building. He has not finished. By the time he finishes, he's going to take us home and end this world. So he now said, come, let me show you that mansion that Jesus has been building. Now, he said, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem. Can you see? That he said bride. That bride is not a city. So it's not just like a head. He said, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He now went further to say that the new Jerusalem is a city. So what is referring to as the bride of Christ is the city. He showed me, verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, said, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates. I'm coming to gates. I'm going to talk about gates. And I'll show us the grace of what we call grace from the story of gates. Gates. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. I'm going to stop the story there. Now, the building that God is building in heaven, it has 12 gates. Okay, let me just go to some few verses that it has how many gates? 12 gates. And what are the names of the gates? The 12 tribes of Israel, right? Okay, let me continue. Okay, now verse 14. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That great city that God is building has 12 gates, and it has a wall, and that wall has how many foundations? 12 foundations. And what are the names? What are the names on those foundations? The apostles, right? The 12 apostles of the Lamb. They are the very, the names of that wall is the very foundation of that, the names of that wall is, the foundation is, the apostles of the Lamb. But the gates talk about the 12 sons of Israel. Now, who are these sons? We know their name: Reuben, let's call it Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Daniel, Dan, who again? Naphtali, Benjamin, Joseph, Gad, then Asher. These are the 12 men. These men's names were immortal. But who are these men? If you look at these men, you understand what to call the grace of God. Who are these 12 men that even in the new heaven that is coming, their names are immortal? The gates that enter into the city of God, there are 12 gates. And each of them, on one gate, Reuben is standing there. On another gate, Levi is standing there. On another name, Naphtali is standing there. On another gate. And who are these men? Amen. Please, follow me quickly. Let's look at these men. Let's look at these men. 10 more minutes. So, let's look at the Genesis. When you understand, you see, you need to understand who your God is. So that, in fact, it will change so many things about us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who are these men? Okay. Genesis 29 talks about their birth. Please, from verse 31. Now, you know the story. Look at the cycle. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is their birth. Their birth. Now, remember, how were they born? Jacob, their father, wanted to marry Rachel, right? In that night, he was cornered and was given who? Leah. He went and slept with Leah. Then Leah started giving birth. Look at what happened. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. The next verse. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. These children were born in strife, in a, how did I put it? I said they were born in a, there was no prophetic movement that surrounded their birth. Unlike Abraham, there was a prophetic movement surrounding the birth of Isaac. Then Isaac again, when Isaac, the wife was pregnant, God said, two nations are in your womb. You see, they were born out of a prophetic movement. Then, if you look at people like John the Baptist, before they gave birth to him, there was a prophetic movement. But these guys were born in war, in strife, in fighting and all kinds of things you can think about. Nothing, in fact, things that you'll not be proud to celebrate. Amen. Amen. So, that was the first one. Then, if you keep reading on and on, these are the circumstances of their birth. I said they came forth in strife, in deception. These were children that were born out of deception, out of strife, and out of war. When God called Abraham, Abraham had two sons. How many did God pick? God picked one. God picked who? Who did he pick? God picked Isaac and left who? Esau. Then when Isaac had his own two sons, how many did God pick? God picked one. Who did he pick? He picked Jacob and he left who? Esau. Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. God picked Isaac and left off who? Ishmael. Jacob had two sons. Who and who? Jacob and who? Esau. God picked Jacob and left her what? Esau. But look at these children. Jacob had 12 children. And out of the 12 of them, God picked how many? Jacob. How many did he pick? What did you read in the book of Revelation? God picked the 12. How many did he pick? God picked the 12 of them. Now, let me give you the chronology. God said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He said, this is my name forever. Say, this is my name forever. So, in the places like in the place of Abraham, we see the Father. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the Abraham, we see the Father. The Father gave his Son. In Isaac, we see the Son. We see the Son offering himself. Right? We see Jesus. Amen. Then in Jacob, that's where we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is this present day generation, the work what God is doing now. So those were typology of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I say Abraham was a symbolism of the Father. And in Abraham, in Abraham, the Father offered his Son. Isaac was a symbolism of the Son, Jesus. And Jesus offered up himself. And Jacob is a symbolism of the work that the Holy Ghost is going to do, which is the work of redemption. Amen. And that's why in Abraham, God picked one, but in Jacob, God picked all. So in redemption, God is going to take in everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I laid that foundation, I continue. So look at the circumstances of their birth. On and on, then, when Leah was giving birth, he gave birth to four. She stopped giving birth. She carried her maid and gave it to Jacob. Jacob started sleeping with the maid. That one gave birth to two. Zilpah, that's the maid of Leah. Zilpah gave birth to Dan and Naphtali. After that, Rachel saw she was barren. She was not giving birth. She carried her own maid, Bilhah. She carried her maid, Bilhah, and gave it to the husband. You'll be sleeping with him. That one gave birth to who? Gad and Asher. Then later, God now opened her womb. She gave birth to Joseph. And when she was dying, she now gave birth to Benjamin. That's the circumstances of their birth. Have you seen that? But yet, in those men, God immortalized their name. And now, the second thing I want to show us briefly is the references to their life. Who are these men? Now, let's go to their life. You've seen the circumstances of their birth. Now, let's go to their life. The first mention of their life, these 12 men, the first mention of who they are was in chapter 34, when their daughter, after Jacob ran away from Laban's house, he was going, so he was still on the journey. Then along the way, Dinah, they got to a place called Shechem. Dinah wanted to see the daughters of the land, and they took her, they raped her, and they kept her inside, right? Right, you remember the story? That was the first reference to their life. So what did they do? Huh? You know the story. What did they do? That was the first reference to their life. What did they do? They came when they Shechem, after raping Shechem and Hamor, his father, they came and met their father that they want to marry this daughter. My son likes this daughter. Let us marry him. So when they came back from the field, they were so angry. So they now lied. Deception. Amen. You see, Abraham was so clean. Isaac was so clean. Jacob, he was a bit deceptive and a bit clean. Amen. Can you see? But his children were totally bad. So they came and deceived them that, okay, all of you be circumcised. When you circumcise, you give yourself to them. And they didn't please those men, they went to do it. After they did, you know what they happened? They said they came to the city on the third day when they were in heavy pain. They said they killed all the male in that city. Oh. So for the first time, we see the patriarch carrying sword. The patriarchs. The fathers. For the first time, we see the patriarch carrying sword. They said they went to the town, killed every male, even to the newborn baby that was there. They slaughtered all of them. And their father told, what is it that you have done? This is that. They were not repentant. How did that verse end? That Genesis 34 say, should he treat our daughter, our sister like that? That was the first, when they became adults. That was the first reference to their life. The second, I want to show you those men that God immortalized their names. And then you think that you are nowhere in God. Amen. You are doing a great injustice to yourself and a great injustice to the grace of God. Praise the Lord. He is so big and he is so expansive. What we call grace. That's why the New Testament is founded on grace. The Bible says grace and what? The law was given through Moses. But what came by through Christ? You say grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Bible says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Grace brings salvation. Amen. Then look at the next reference to their life. Genesis 35 verse 22. Please call up that one. The next time they show those men. You know, when they were showing Abraham, you see him doing covenant. You see him honoring God. You see him obeying God. God said, okay, depart. Let this man that he came out of Canaan with, what's his name? Out of the all shall thee. Lot, let Lot go. Sacrifice your son. Dude, you see Abraham following through, right? You see Isaac too offering himself. You see even Jacob too making altar. Jacob went to the place called Bethel and he offered up sacrifice and all of those things. But these guys were totally bad. Totally bad. And that is where the message of the cross begins from. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel had it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. This story is so bad. Jacob left Bethel. He just had an encounter with God. If I won't read it because of our time. He just had an encounter in Bethel. And when God reaffirmed the covenant to him, that your seed, I'm going to multiply your seed. And that the Messiah is going to come out of you. You know, the seed is the Messiah. That the Messiah is going to come out of you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you fruitful. This same, if you go keep it. So, after that encounter in Bethel, then he was now journeying to Bethlehem. And can you see, and that Bethlehem will be the birthplace of the Messiah in the future. It was a spiritual movement. And right in the middle, Satan now struck. Reuben, who is the firstborn, now went and lay with the father's wife. Now, Rachel just died.
So he was still mourning the death of the wife with a newborn baby called Benjamin in hand. With all of those circumstances, Reuben now stood up and now went and slept with Bilhah. Praise the Lord. The father did not even see anything. It was when he was releasing blessing that he spoke about what happened in this place. Can you see? So let me not go into this so that I can move fast. So I say he was leaving Bethel and going to where? Bethlehem. That Ephrah, they call it Ephrah, Bethlehem. That was the birthplace of the Messiah. And God just finished speaking to him about the Messiah. So Genesis 49, verse 3. Okay, gather yourselves together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. The next verse. Reuben, he said, you are what? Please, let's echo it together. He said, you are what? You are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. The excellency of dignity, and the excellency of what? Of power. The next verse. Unstable as water, you shall not excel, because you went up to your father's bed. Then you defile it. He went up to my couch. That gate, that foundation, that new Jerusalem, the first gate that you will order, who was the person standing there? Who is the name? What's the name of the person? This is that Reuben. Praise the Lord. So it was the beginning of his strength. And I told you, he just had a covenant in Bethel, an encounter in Bethel, and I was going to Bethlehem. Then Satan struck to take away the strength to defy the strength of Jacob. But God had other plan. That's it. Have you seen that? Then we all know the story of Joseph. They hated Joseph, their brother, right? This man, they murdered people in Shechem, that's the sons of Shechem. Then in Genesis 37, the next reference to them was that Jacob, they hated their brother Joseph. Why? Because their father loved him. Number two, Joseph was always bringing their bad report to the father. One, they hated him. They were jealous of him. Then they went further to say they wanted to kill their own brother. They said, behold, there comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and see what becomes of his dream. You know how God intervened, right? Then the next reference to their life was Judah. How many of us remember the story of Judah? You know, God told Abraham specifically, don't marry a Canaanite. Even Isaac, they went to look for a wife from his kindred. Then Jacob, when Esau married there from one of those Ishmaelites, Jacob had to go to the house of Laban so that he pick a wife there to preserve the seed, a pure breed. Judah, if you read Genesis, Genesis 38, you know, Judah and Tamar. Judah, he went and picked Shua, one a Canaanite. Took her. He said, the Bible says Judah departed from his brother. He left his father's house. Went and picked a Canaanite and married that woman. Fed to three children. The Bible says the firstborn was wicked. God killed him. The second two was wicked. God what killed him. Judah went further to go and sleep with his own what? With his own daughter-in-law. Judah is one of the gates. Jesus is called the lion of the tribe of who? It's not Judah, Abraham, because Abraham was clean. It should be Isaac. Isaac was clean. The lion of the tribe of who? Is still the same Judah. If they have a place in God, how dare you think? How dare we rise up and say we have no place in God? Then after that, let's even say that God helped them. After Joseph's story, then Joseph was now, when their father died, all the goodness and kindness that Joseph showed to them, they never accepted it. All the kindness that Joseph never even blamed them one day. And you know that these guys were so wicked that they told their father that Jacob was dead, Joseph was dead. Can you see the pain that their father carried and was going to the grave with it? And they never confessed. That maybe it's alive or it's in the... They believe that his son, for 13 years, he carried that pain. He said, I will go and meet him with this pain in my heart. And they all did it. So I want you to see, to have a place that God did not, what to call the election of grace. He said, I love you because... What to call the election of grace, God chooses. He said, Jacob have I loved and if I hate them. It's not as if Jacob himself was not bad. He was a cheater from the... It's God's grace because God has chosen. He said, you are his workmanship, chosen in who? Elected in Christ. Because that God has chosen. It's where we, our strength. Then, the father carried that pain. And then Joseph was dying. Joseph, after their father died, they went and said, my father is dead. Now, Joseph was crying. So they never even believed that it's even his own repentance. Not even accept the grace of God. Yeah, God took those men in. He can't even accept God's grace. They were crying that, look at Genesis 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. Please call up, be fast. Genesis 50, 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph, this was the last reference to those men in the Bible. So all the references to them were bad in the Bible. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Continue, please, continue. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, your father did command before he died. It's a lie. It's another deception. They've never left their trade. Your father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray you, the trespass of your brethren and their sin. For they did unto you evil, and now we pray you, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph started crying. They did try you. Call up the next verse. Joseph wept when they spoke unto him. The next verse. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, you'll be your servant. They played a video. Have a place he was. A very large. Eh? A very large.
Can you appreciate your father? With the light of this understanding, see who God is. Can you see the heart of your father? Can you see who your father is? He said, he that gave us his son. What will he not give us in addition to his son? Everything. This is the God that we serve. That you serve. He's not a tax master. He's not a tax master. If God could take this man. This man know the story of Abraham. He didn't change them. This man know the story of Isaac. He didn't change them. This man know the story of their father, Jacob. And all the encounters he's been having with God, he didn't change them. But God wanted to, why did God choose those men? God wanted to demonstrate the extent, the depth of his love, and the depth of his grace, so that we in this generation can understand. If you don't understand this, you miss a lot in life. I mean, understanding the grace and the heart, how big and how expansive the heart of your father is. This is the spring of worship. It is from here you worship God. This is from where you worship your father. Stop thinking about the many things that are wrong in your life. No, think about your father. Don't be looking at your life, your background, your family, all the mistakes you have made. And don't be worshiping from, no. Your worship should spring from who your father is and what he has done. I want to sing this song. One man, if he wants to cast out demon, you know how he does it? You just stand there before the person, he say, I am A.A. Allen, and the demons you go. Do you know why? Because you know who he is. So can we take that song? I know who I am. In the light of everything that you have had, see how beloved you are of the Father. He say, I am A.A. Allen, and the demons you fly. You know the difference? Because you know who he is. He say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Demons know people. You know the people they know? The people that know their identity in God. I am too beloved of God to die an early death. It's impossible. Both by plane, both by road, both by straight bullets. I am too beloved of God to die. This is the spring of faith. Faith is not faith in your faith. No. Faith is just understanding who you are and knowing your identity.
We are a chosen generation, called for to show His heaven. All I require for life, gonna be for me.
I want to call your attention to something. He said, I am a chosen what?
Generation.
God chose you. That's just all. That's what we call the election of grace. God chose you. Everything you start, God chose you like He chose those 12 men. No matter what Satan did. Carry Reuben. Let Reuben go and sleep with his own mother. Reuben, let him, you know, he slept with his father's concubine. Let him go and sleep with his own mother. His name. God chose his name from beginning that his name will be one of the gates. At the end of life, was his name there? Because the election of God had chosen him. You are a chosen generation.
For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Ask Him tonight to put a nation on your heart.